Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat.
The real two Peas are here, brother.
Are they? Is that what this song's
stand
about?
Stand up, Andy Schmandy.
You dropped it back.
Man. You act like you've never seen a white person before, but here's two of them.
Well, they're not seeing us. They're hearing. You act like you've never heard a white person before.
Two Peas.
Eminem, this man.
Two Peas on a podcast. Gerald is here.
Andy is in La Casa.
Andy's here. Eminem is here.
Man.
Eminem was here this past week.
Yeah, off his second album. This was a very angry album. My wife loves this album.
It's good, man.
The Marshall Mathers LP.
Eminem's good, brother. Yeah. I put him up there. He's top 10 rappers, man.
Absolutely. It's good. Absolutely. Unparalleled lyricist.
So you got to do your final thought of a real Slim Shady. So I'll give you something to stew on there for the next 60 minutes.
Can I bust it? Can I freestyle?
Well, you think about that there. Oh, but Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 47.
Yes.
We're on a bit of a field trip this week because I have made the trek out here to Andy's casa.
Yeah, man. And I got it all set up nice for you. I lit all the Halloween candles.
Very Halloween-y, brother.
You know, turn on the Halloween lights.
Very impressed.
Yes.
I wish I had brought my little pumpkin trick-or-treat thing when I came over here because you're ready to roll, brother.
Up with candy, brother.
You are ready to roll, brother.
Yes.
So welcome in, Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 47. Andy, what's going on, man? I just got back from Disney World. What else is going on? Tell us about your trip.
What's going on.
That's a big thing.
I was so very impressed. Of course, it's just a magical experience, but I was impressed especially by the level of detail in every corner of the Magic Kingdom. Like, everyone seemed to be in on the magic. Like, not just the characters, not just the waiters at the restaurants, but the person sweeping the floor kind of gave you this winky
happy.
Twinkle. Like, everyone there is in on the magic.
Yeah.
The details of the buildings and the grounds.
You're right.
And I mean, just they do so good. They do
it's like, you know, the janitors are just so happy. I'm like, dude, I just took a massive shit in there. Why are you so happy? You can't possibly be that happy after cleaning up after me.
Why do you got to darken my magical moment?
How hot are the Disney princesses, though? Did you get to see
them?
Did you see Pocahontas walking around
people.
There? Did you see Pocahontas walking around
ladies.
There, buddy?
They're
all right. Well, my week was good. I did go to Disney World.
No, you did.
So it wasn't good as you, but I did cut the cord.
You did.
Do you know what that means?
No, I did not.
You don't know what that means?
No.
I guess I should explain. It's not a scientific term. I cut the cord television-wise.
No, you did.
I got rid of my DirecTV, brother. So I literally am saving like $80 a month overnight.
Oh, it's wonderful. So are you not watching TV anymore at all?
Well, no. Well, let's not get nuts here. Of course I'm watching TV. What I did is I did the digital antenna, which you told me you do.
Yeah.
So I got the digital antenna for all the network shows, and then we already had Netflix and Hulu.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm good.
Now, how do you feel about your football, though?
I can watch it on the antenna.
Wonderful.
And it actually is a better picture than DirecTV.
And you're getting a good signal?
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
I don't get ABC.
In stormy type weather, every once in a while it'll cut out.
Oh, really?
Ours is pretty good. You have to put
actually,
it really high.
Well, actually, we installed it when we had the rainstorms.
Yeah.
Well, you were in Florida, but we had some rain here while you were
Did
gone.
Did you?
So I am, cut the cord. That's what they call that, right?
That's what they call
it?
It's a thing. I know it's a thing.
People should do it. I'm telling you. Because I was very afraid to do it for several years. Like, for the last 5 years, I've been considering doing it.
You've been thinking about turning off cable for five years?
And I finally got
around
to it.
That's how long it takes to make a decision?
It takes me a while to do stuff. I'm very fearful.
Honey, I'm thinking about switching over to wheat bread.
A good fry.
But give me a minute.
Give me 41 years. Okay. Now I eat wheat bread.
I'm going to try it. Okay. The honey wheat.
So anyway, that was
our white wheat.
That was our week. So that my week. Your week was Disney World much better. You got me an Epcot coffee mug.
I did.
You're an amazing person.
I'm a good person.
You're an amazing person.
Yes. We went to Epcot Center and, you know, like the towns, the cities, like the countries around the lake. Man, everything is so detailed.
Yeah. No, it's
China,
great.
Japan,
it's
Germany.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
I've been, I think,
wonderful.
On three occasions, and every time it's just... It's like you're living in a dream a little. Literally.
It is.
It's like you come home and that's when you wake up and you go, okay. Or you get in your car or plane or whatever.
This,
but
this
when you're there, you're living a
dream.
But
yeah, amazing. Thank you, Walt.
Absolutely.
For the magic.
And Pocahontas usually in my dream as well. All right. That was just her walking around the park. Never mind.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see.
It doesn't take you very long, does it?
Let's get into some. We're on week three, right, of our new format here, so we're going to keep it at 60 minutes or
do it. Oh,
try very hard to do so. So in our first segment here for entertainment news, we just opened it with Eminem.
Entertainment news?
We just opened with Eminem there for the real Slim Shady, which of course he is.
Wow.
And let's see, brother. It was the BET Awards. He did a freestyle rap, which was a 4.5-minute, what I'll call smackdown of Donald J.
Now,
Trump.
It was a video of him like in a parking garage.
Yeah.
So it was filmed and I guess shown at the BET Awards.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
But it was a freestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't write it.
No, it's wonderful. It, but I mean, it's all about Donald Trump.
It all is.
And I mean, very, very angry, of course.
You should definitely.
And specific, which I like.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you should look it up on YouTube so you can relate to what we're talking about. But we've been talking about, you know, popular culture and celebrities kind of speaking out against him.
Exactly.
And, freedom of speech and First Amendment and so on and so forth. In that vein, what Eminem did here, because you're right, it was very angry.
And poignant.
He ended the rap by saying, if you're torn because you're a fan of mine and you voted for Trump, let me help you. Fuck you.
Yeah, basically.
Don't be my fan anymore.
So here's the line in the sand. Exactly.
So
basically saying that I don't want you to be a fan of mine
if you voted for him. Right.
Or if you support him.
Right.
Now.
So,
which is, I mean,
what I was going to ask is your opinion on the, did he take it too far? Was it not far enough? Was it okay? Do you have any second thoughts about, how do you feel about what he did there?
Well, in perfect Eminem fashion, as far as lyricism and his ability to, as an MC and his amazing talent as an artist, absolutely unparalleled. Eminem is going to go down in history as one of the greatest MCs of all time, of course.
Yep, I agree.
But besides that, I've always been a fan of his unadulterated drive to speak his mind.
Yeah, don't hold back.
The more you tell this guy to calm it down and to shush, the more he's going to speak out.
Right.
The first line on his second album was, they say I can't talk about drugs no more. And then right after that, he just goes off about, you know, everything he's going to talk about.
Right, right, right.
So it reminds me of South Park, one of my favorite shows, where part of the point of the show is, let's see how far we can take it. Mm-hmm. And I like that idea of challenging free speech. I'm here to say what I'm going to say, and you're not going to silence me. So it's interesting that, you know, we're into the first year, almost a year over of, you know, Trump's America,
yeah, about 10
so to
months
speak,
or so, yeah.
And that this gentleman who's known for speaking out hasn't really said anything yet. So it's been building up to that. We've been wondering, is this guy going to drop something about Trump? And he's mentioned him in passing in a few rhymes.
Right.
But having him come out with this, I wasn't disappointed at all.
You know what I thought was ironic? Yeah. And they showed a little piece, I think, of the New York Times. They said that in hip hop, prior to the election, Donald Trump was associated with like riches and gold, and rappers would drop his name in songs
as a
way
He's
to
a symbol for that
wealth,
success.
Right.
Yeah,
a symbol for success and wealth.
Exactly.
And now it's like everybody, well, really every celebrity, well, not every celebrity,
well, he's
but
a symbol for
a
ego.
Lot of them.
He's a symbol for disaster.
It's just a quick turn, brother.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know he's the president, whereas a year ago he wasn't, but I'm just saying, with the power that he now has, I feel like the real Trump is standing up. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
So to speak.
He can't hide anymore. But what I liked about Slim Shady's freestyle was, one, it was angry.
Yeah.
And the fact is that...
And you're okay with that. That's what I wanted to ask.
No, he is angry and he's not going to apologize for being angry. This is me. And you could see it even in the freestyle. He would take a moment to catch his breath and you could see that he was just seething and boiling over.
So this was his thoughts coming off the top of his head. You know what I mean? So that was how he felt in the moment.
And so I liked the anger. I love the emotion. I mean, you know, Eminem is known for his emotion. He doesn't hold back.
And I agree
with
that.
But the wordplay and the specificity of the fact that, why are we paying attention to the Twitter feed? That's what he wants us to do, to pay attention to the Twitter feed and to these people standing up at football games where we should be paying attention to Puerto Rico and what's happening, you know, in Korea and this, you know, this disaster that's present in the White House. So
can I ask you a question kind of off topic, but
please
you
do.
Just made me think of it. Why do you think nobody has asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders in the press conferences when they'll talk about the flag and the anthem?
Yeah.
When... She'll say Trump is a constitutionalist. Trump, the First Amendment. You know, we talked about
when she defers.
We don't have to get deep into that.
Yes, absolutely.
But why wouldn't somebody, because she'll say, you know, just this is a generic thing, but she'll say Trump's not going to stand for someone disrespecting the flag and not going to stand for someone disrespecting the anthem. Why doesn't a reporter ask her, where does Trump stand on those players exercising their First Amendment rights?
I don't know. Why
has that not been pointed out? I feel like that's so
glaring. I want to say,
glaring.
Of course, they only have a certain amount of time to ask a certain number of questions. But I feel like up to this point, and not just with this specific press secretary, but with the entire administration, and we talked about this time and time again, it's so hard to ask them any questions because they just dodge everything.
Yeah, they do.
You know, so I mean, after a while, you just get frustrated.
I mean, nobody's going to come out against Trump.
Of course, that's the obvious. That's the obvious. What you want to do is you want to ask them, well, what do you think about their right to protest?
Maybe you see it as disrespecting the flag, but aren't they exercising their First Amendment?
Exactly.
So I don't know. I didn't mean to get off on a thing there because I know we spent a few weeks ago a lot of time on the flag.
On the one hand, I want them to ask her, but on the other hand, I don't think she'd answer the question.
I mean, she definitely wouldn't. Yeah, she would spin it in some way. So we're talking about Eminem. So let me ask you. So Eminem's freestyle, just like I said, I categorize it as a smackdown of Trump.
Yeah.
So where do you put that and that display in relation to what Kathy Griffin did with the decapitated art, if you will?
Well, here's the thing. Eminem is unapologetic.
Mm-hmm.
You will never see or hear this guy today or in the future apologizing for what he has said.
No.
And that's the main thing. We talk about character all the time. We talk about context all the time. Within his context, this is Eminem being Eminem. He's not showboating. He's not trying to draw attention to himself. He's saying, this is how I feel, and I'm not going to apologize about it, and this is how I'm going to express
it. So the difference is Kathy Griffin kind of flip-flopped.
With people who flip-flop, you never know. Is it for publicity? Are you trying just to get attention? If you do really believe what you're saying, why are you pulling back? So with the if, ands, and
that's a good point.
You know, that's the difference
for
me.
The act that they did was basically the same.
Yes.
But the difference is you're not going to question Eminem's passion behind his.
And plus,
right?
Eminem's freestyle was very, very specific.
Oh, yeah.
If you break it down line for line and word for word,
he knows what he's talking about.
He's going to be vulgar. I mean, he's vulgar about Trump, and he uses very vulgar language. So if you have a hard time getting around that, you're not going to like it. I understand that. I can understand that. But if you look at beyond the vulgarity at the specifics of what he's saying, it's all relatable and factual.
Right.
Whereas, you know, someone who shows a billboard of Trump with a Nazi flag behind him, well, Trump's not a Nazi. You know, Trump's not Hitler. Right. You know, and I understand why you want
to
compare them.
No matter how much you might hate him or his policy, you don't want him decapitated. I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly.
I mean, who would wish that upon someone?
I don't agree with the line in the sand. Like, I don't want to draw a line in the sand. If you are my friend or my acquaintance or you want to have a conversation.
You're talking about what Eminem said to his fans?
At the end. And you support Trump. I want to have a conversation with you about it. I want to know why you support him.
But you know what?
I respect him for making that
statement. To that point, a lot of people on Facebook, for example, are saying, I've actually seen friends of mine status that's like, if you voted for Trump, unfriend me. And I'm with you. That's kind of like, we're taking a step backwards here.
Yeah, because like you always
say. So what are we going to do, just hide from each other forever?
Like you always say, it contributes to the divisiveness.
Right.
Where we need to be increasing conversations. And of course, we're going to talk about this later with Harvey Weinstein and the Republican-liberal debate. Yep. But I mean, it seems like the two lines or the two sides are getting farther and farther apart.
Yep, I agree.
Where we need to have more conversations.
So I know we're getting,
but I understand why he'd make that remark. And like I said, two things. One, the specificity. And two, the unapologetic nature of the freestyle.
And he's just passionate
about it.
You don't question his motive there.
That's why I'm a fan of his. And that's why I appreciate this artistic expression.
I agree. Hey, no problem. We were talking about Kathy Griffin, so I wanted to kind of segue a little bit. But the reason I brought her up is because it's been announced that Andy Cohen.
Oh,
is going to be replacing.
I thought they were going to ask me to do it.
It's going to be replacing Kathy Griffin on CNN's New Year's Eve coverage with Anderson Cooper.
She's been doing this for a while.
She's been doing it for a while. Yeah. It was like 10, 12 years, something like that. But, you know, with the whole decapitated Trump head, it was too much controversy for CNN, so they fired her, which we talked about on the show. Okay. But Andy Cohen, the comedian and talk show host, is going to be joining Anderson Cooper, two gay dudes. They're both gay. I don't know if you did you know that? Now you do. Now you do. But two gay guys.
Okay, well done.
I mean, it'll be fun. They're fun guys is what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, that's not all I mean. They're also homosexual.
You're just digging the hole deeper. All gay guys are fun. Come on. They're just fun guys. They dress well.
Yeah,
their hair is always cut, trimmed nicely.
Yeah, they smell great. But anyway, they're going to be doing the New Year's Eve.
I don't think you're going to be doing anything in the future.
Coverage over on CNN. So get ready for that if you're a fan of the coverage.
So what do you think about them dumping Kathy for that, for what happened?
I mean, we talked about it on the show, but at the time, and my opinion really hasn't changed, I feel like they almost had to.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, just to save face, because Trump, CNN was public enemy number one to him.
Okay.
Remember, he was, everything was CNN's fake news.
Yeah.
He did the memes of body slamming them at wrestling matches.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
So it's like, the argument could very easily be made had they kept her. Like, well, of course they kept her because CNN hates Trump.
That's true. You know what I mean? And not only to save face, but I guess as a news organization, if we want to continue to do our job and do our job well, we can't have this distraction.
Right.
That's what it is. The whole point
is not to be biased, too. I mean, neutral news or whatever.
And have one of our employees or one of our people holding up a decapitated head. I mean, I guess that's obviously biased.
Yeah,
I understand.
So we got to get into this before we get into our pee break and our
one
deep topic. And I know you're going to be excited about it, but it happened actually the day we recorded last week, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. So but they released a trailer for The Last Jedi.
Yes, they did.
The next Star Wars installment, episode 8, correct?
I think so.
8. Last Jedi. So I just rewatched it. It's been a week since I've seen it.
I watched it over your shoulder.
And you watched it with me as well?
I wanted to let you watch it by yourself, but I had to sneak in over your shoulder and breathe into your ear.
You watched it with me? I felt your lightsaber. you're right behind me. So I just want to react to it, to The Last Jedi. I mean, big Star Wars fans here. Absolutely. You more so than me, I'll admit, but I am a big fan of the universe there. Looking forward to seeing this flick.
Absolutely.
What are your takeaways from The Last Jedi trailer that they released?
I love the way they constantly riff on old images from Star Wars, how you see the AT-AT walkers and how you see the TIE fighters, but in a new form. You see the stormtroopers in a new way. So I love every time I get a glimpse of that reality and they show those images, I'm just drawn into the reality. I'm drawn into the story. What I liked about the trailer specifically this time is they focused on the relationship between Rey and her guide, Luke, and Kylo Ren and his guide, what's his name again?
Snook.
And how they could be joined together, perhaps. So it really gets into the meat of the story and tells us that The Last Jedi is going to be about Rey and Kylo Ren. And they're both extremely powerful. They're getting more powerful. And they're going to have to face off, not just fight,
but
there's going to be some type of relationship there.
Do you think Rey's going to the dark side when he holds his hand out there? Or you think that's a camera trick thing they're making us believe?
That's what they want us to believe.
Yeah.
Now, there's going to be, of course, there's always going to be temptation, and we don't know the context of the scene yet. Having Luke say, I've seen this kind of power before, obviously he's talking about Kylo Ren, because Kylo Ren, he was training Kylo Ren, his nephew, and when Kylo Ren turned to the dark side and killed all the other people he was training.
Right.
There's going to be that temptation. There's going to be the powers rising and Luke being afraid of that. So I'm just so excited about those characters and where they're going.
What does it say about me that I would actually like it if she went to the dark side?
You're just a dark guy.
What's that say about me?
Yes.
I always kind of tend to, I have this weird thing where I tend to lean towards villains, but only for like the heart of the movie. Like I don't want him to succeed at the very end, but like I pull for him the whole time until the end. You know what I mean? Like in The Dark Knight, like I love the Joker. Like I wanted him just to instill chaos, but I didn't want him to prevail and kill Batman at the end.
Yes. Well, you're a dark guy, man.
I don't know.
You want there to be complication.
Well, I liked it.
Because if you think about it, they say, you know, Spider-Man's most famous line, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Was also, with great power comes great struggle, comes great ego. You know, the more powerful you get, the more the pull to use that power for your own gain and to see how powerful you are. So naturally, as Rey gets stronger, the pull gets stronger.
What do you think of the little Chia Pet thing?
The little
porgy or whatever.
You know, Star Wars is known for those cute little moments. I'll take it.
You don't think it's going to be a Jar Jar Binks thing?
I hope not.
I
didn't mind.
I thought it was kind of cute, but it kind of blew up on the internet. People were like, what the fuck is this? George Lucas, get this fucking squirrel out of here. I thought it was kind of cute. I was like, whoa, that's kind of cute. That'll make it cute.
I love Kylo Ren's TIE Fighter too, the long pointy one. That's kind of cool. And the fact that they showed...
like he's having a standoff with his mom or whatever.
Exactly. The standoff was great because he was talking. He might have been talking to Rey, basically saying that if you want to achieve greatness or your potential, you have to destroy your past, even if it means killing it. And we kind of assume that Princess Leia is going to die in this one because Carrie Fisher died.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to tie that in or how much she filmed beforehand or how much CGI they're willing to use, but...
We'll see, brother.
Unfortunately, because of Carrie Fisher's death, we almost assumed that
Leia's let's wrap up on this because we got to get into our
stuff. We got to go, man. Come on.
But real quick.
Okay.
Whose arc, just answer it because I know you. You're going to fucking give me an 8-episode build-up here. Whose arc are you more excited to see, Rey's or Kylo Ren's? Give me the answer, and then we'll go to
Kylo Ren's.
Kylo Ren's. You like the dark side. Give me some fucking.
Yes.
You're like the villain. No, you don't have to get into it. Mine is also Kylo Ren's, but that's fine. We can go into it.
But overall, Luke Skywalker.
Luke.
I want to see Luke. I want to see what's happened
with
Luke?
The RoboCop hand, though. He's fucking taking.
What do you mean what happened?
I mean, I know what happened to his hand. I'm saying, but
tell me what happened. Remind me that you know.
Darth
what
Vader
to his
took
hand?
His hand off.
There you go.
When he revealed he's his father, but I didn't know what's the RoboCop thing. That's new,
that's
right?
His hand, right? That's his hand.
I mean, I didn't.
Well, he always wore a glove.
Yes, maybe that's it. All right. Those effects really got me.
You brought my lightsaber back, but you didn't bring my glove?
Here we go.
I've been looking for my glove
for
30 years.
Where the fuck is my hand, guys? Okay. All right. So let's get into our pee break here, Andy. Okay. Our featured pod friend of the week this week is Netflix and Swill. Love those guys, Dan and Caleb. They basically review Netflix shows and movies, even the one-star movies.
And now that you're unplugged, you're going to be Netflix and Swilling it up, homie.
You're probably right. Yeah. I was actually a guest on their most recent episode. So it works out well that they're our featured pod friend of the week. But Dan Brennick from Netflix and Swill is going to answer these rapid-fire questions in our pee break. He did a really good job. So let's listen to what he had to say to these quick-fire questions.
Wonderful.
And then, Andy, when we come back on the flip side, we will get into our one deep topic.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, it's time for this week's pee break. This week, we are featuring Netflix and Swill. Love those guys. And Dan Brennick is repping Netflix and Swill. Dan, are you ready for your 10 rapid-fire questions, brother?
Sure.
I don't guess you have a choice, really, so that was unfair. All right, here we go. If only two actors got all the work in Hollywood, who would you want them to be?
Will Ferrell and Steve Carell.
Who is your favorite rapper?
Eminem.
Good one. All right, Bugs Bunny or Mickey Mouse?
Bugs Bunny.
What is the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Calamari.
All right. Where would you go if you were invisible, Dan Brennick?
I'm already invisible in public, so I guess public again.
Just stay in public.
Yeah.
All right. Rain or snow?
I guess rain.
You wanted to say snow there, I could tell. What word would you add to the dictionary if you could?
Fuck.
Fuck's a good one. I don't think that's in there.
It's fuck in the dictionary.
You can say fuck. Is that your answer? That's good. I'll take that.
Yeah, fuck.
I don't think that's in there. All right. If your plane was about to crash, who would you want sitting next to you?
Another pilot.
Beer or liquor?
Oh, beer.
Okay. And the last one, which you probably know, describe your podcast in 3 words only, my friend.
2 idiots yelling.
There it is. All right, guys. Netflix and Swill, all the information in the show notes. Dan Brennick, thanks so much for being the featured pod friend of the week, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Gerald. You're a sweetheart.
Welcome back in, guys.
I love this song.
It's a good tune, man.
This is a great song.
It's a good tune. Good tune.
I'm not sick. But I'm not well.
There you go.
You know?
There you go. It just kind of came to me. We're going to talk. It's our one deep topic we're getting into here, Andy.
Okay.
So it just kind of came to me. The name of this band is Harvey Danger.
Interesting.
It's from the 90s, so it has
sick.
Nothing to do with what we're talking
he's
about.
He's not but. Sick, like sick, but he's not well either.
There
let's
you go.
Face it.
There you go. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But the one deep topic this week, brother, is Harvey Weinstein. And
what's going on with
that's
Mr.
Thing.
Weinstein.
That's the thing. And let me preface it by saying we didn't talk about it last week because I talked to my friend Katie Ward. And I was telling her is that the reason we didn't do it last week is because really last Tuesday or Wednesday when we recorded, all we really, really knew at that point was that he's a creep.
Yes.
I mean, we didn't know. I mean, now it's like more than 30 women.
Yes.
And
It's gone from various allegations surfacing to a whole storyline with specifics, but not only specifics that repeat time and time again. So yeah, it's gone.
I think we've journeyed
a little beyond creepyhood here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let me set it up now that we've had basically a week to kind of, or 10 days to kind of gather all this unfortunate facts that continue to come out. Or minimum allegations. Mm-hmm. It all started with a New York Times expose, which was published on October the 5th.
Okay.
So we're looking at going on 2 weeks now. It chronicled decades of alleged harassment by Weinstein and claims he reached at least 8 settlements with women, according to 2 company officials.
Okay.
And that's where it started. Okay?
So New York Times had interviewed officials within his company?
Yeah, they had basically written an expose based on the information they'd obtained over many, many months.
Okay.
And it was all various allegations against
Weinstein. At this point, do we have women coming forward yet?
Oh, yeah. We're getting into that as well.
Okay. Wonderful.
Okay, so real quick.
No, wonderful, but okay, continue.
Yeah, of course not. Real quick, Harvey's attorney in response to the New York Times article says, quote, any allegation of non-consensual sex is vigorously denied, unquote. Just want that to be thrown out there. The reason I bring
it
up.
Broad, don't you think? Whatever they say I did wrong, I didn't do.
The reason I bring that up, though, is because it's interesting to me that through this whole time, like I said, about 2 weeks or so, mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein has never admitted anything. He's never shown remorse mm-hmm. for any kind of sexual assault or harassment.
And he's only spoken through his representation,
attorneys,
right?
Attorneys, and a couple times TMZ caught him on the street. He had generic, like, you know.
I remember one time him saying, I'm getting help.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
I hope I
get
a second
joke. Okay, so let's not get too far ahead
of
ourselves.
Sorry, Gerald.
So you asked about the women coming forward since the article was mm-hmm. released. Now, the article itself, there were 8 women that accepted settlements, and those are legal documents that have been proven. So there were 8 women that accepted settlements in exchange for not filing a sexual harassment.
Really?
Yes.
8 women.
So that we already knew about.
So right away, there's 8 women. Okay.
Right. Now, these were employees of the Weinstein Company, not famous people, but just people that work for him.
Oh, so these are just the employees.
So that started there. Okay. So now those 8 were there, obviously. So now what happened, fast forward 2 weeks later, and over the course of those 2 weeks, over 30 women have now come forward and said they were either harassed or assaulted in some way. 2 of them said they were raped. Here's some of the accusers' names, by the way. Rose McGowan, Ashley Judd, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, Kate Winslet, Kate Beckinsale, Rosanna Arquette, Mira Sorvino, Heather Graham, Minka Kelly, and that's just to name some of the more quote-unquote famous women.
That's unbelievable.
Right.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
I had a quote on here from Kate Winslet. Mm-hmm. She said that she purposely left him out of her Oscar speech in 2009 when she won Best Actress for The Reader. He was the producer on that film. She said, quote, the fact that I will never have to deal with him again is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And I'm sure the feeling is universal, unquote. That's Miss Kate Winslet.
Okay.
All right. Now, 30 plus women have come forward. Well, Harvey's not backing down that he did anything wrong. You mentioned the TMZ kind of video that surfaced that he was being interviewed as he was getting into his car.
Yeah, they kind of caught him.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is where I want to spin off a little bit onto our banter here back and forth about it. And he said, and he's also released this in statements that I don't have quotes for, but he said basically the same thing in his statements, that he needs help, that he is seeking help, mm-hmm. that he's going to rehab for sexual addiction.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Take that for what it's worth. If you think he's a sex addict or if you believe that or whatever, that's mm-hmm. fine. This is not sex addiction, right? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, this is predatory sexual assault or harassment.
Yes. This is,
or in some cases, possibly being a rapist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what do you think there? I mean, in other words, him being a sex addict leads to this, mm-hmm. or are they two completely different things? In your opinion,
they're definitely related. There seems to be two very, very powerful parts of his pathology going on here. And of course, beyond that, we're going to get into the culture that contributes to this and that allows this to go on. Like, what has happened? Why have we heard this about this before? Why was it just a rumor? Why did everyone kind of whisper about it, but it's not coming out? Yeah. So, of course, we need to get into that as well. But you mentioned sex addiction. Now, sex addiction, just like any other addiction, means that I have an uncontrollable desire. Mm-hmm. Now, there's not a fine line in any addiction. You can say that, okay, I have 1 or 2 beers every weekend, or I have 1 or 2 beers every afternoon, or I have them in the morning, or I've gotten to a point now where I call it an addiction because it's beyond my ability to control it. Now I have a drinking problem. So a sexual addiction just means that I have a desire, an overwhelming desire for sex that, come on, I mean, a lot of us have that.
Yeah.
And that's not here and there. But the sexual addiction means that I have lost control over this desire. Now, that's one thing. And I'm sure a lot of people suffer from sexual addiction. But I think you made a wonderful distinction here, Gerald. You said that, but sexual addiction is not abusing power to overwhelm mm-hmm. ladies and to put them into compromising positions and use your power to obtain sexual favors from them.
Now,
that's fun. That's something completely
different. Can they be connected?
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely, they're connected.
But a sexual predator is not a sexual addict, in my opinion. They're two different things.
Well, I think they're related because...
In my opinion. I agree.
I agree that they're related. I would think that a sexual predator has to have some form of sexual addiction, meaning that he or she cannot control his desire for sex.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is...
But they also have a pathology where they're using something. They become predatory in nature. They're using any kind of means to get that, no matter what no matter how they can get
right.
it.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is you can be a sex addict. Let's say he is a sex addict. But if he stops himself from raping women, then he's just a sex addict.
Yes.
But if he takes it to the next level, that's abominable, and he does what he apparently did, then he's something different.
Because you have a man or a woman who they have a sexual addiction, so they maybe they visit prostitutes, or maybe they just, I mean, as a powerful man or a powerful woman, I'm sure there's a lot of access to sexual favors, even in consensual relationships. So right there, you could say that, yes, you can have a big problem and you could need some help understanding your desires and, you know, honing them in and being able to control them. But you're absolutely right here. There's a completely different, it's almost like you're stacking one on top of the other. You have his sexual addiction, which means his desire, overwhelming desire for sex.
And by the way, that's him self-professed.
Exactly. Because I mean, that's one thing. On top of that, layered is this overwhelming egotistical pathology, which means that he thinks he has the power and the privilege to obtain this from women. And that's the biggest problem here. The biggest problem, we've talked about this before in our kind of culture of men over women.
Right.
Especially in these industries.
Right. And I was going to mention some of that too.
That most of the time, there's not a logical idea, or there's not at least a conscious idea, that this is a huge problem. Meaning, as Harvey Weinstein, as a powerful producer, I have the right to do this. Mm-hmm. This is okay because I'm rewarding them with jobs, and I'm rewarding them with favors. Right. So part of the pathology is this abuse of power that over time, what do you think? How many years do you think this has been going on?
I want to say 1980 was the first.
Because you think.
Allegation.
What's that? 20, 37 years? Mm-hmm. So you think over 30 years, and all behavior is learned. Over time, it increases, basically. So if he's been acting on this impulse, maybe it started as something small, but he's been acting on this over 37 years, he has convinced himself and lives now in the illusion that his power gives him the right to do this. So he might not even be aware that he's doing something, quote, wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the biggest problem.
Well, Bob and Harvey Weinstein, the Weinstein brothers that founded the Weinstein Company, are arguably top three producers in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows who Harvey Weinstein
is. At least in the last,
everyone, yeah,
at least everyone in the last 10 or 15 years. So, to your point, absolutely, because a woman that's trying to make it in Hollywood gets propositioned by, like I said, one of the top three producers in Hollywood. That's putting them in a situation where, well, we talked, okay, so for example, we talked about the reporter with Cam Newton.
Yes.
Obviously, a much less severe.
Yes, I see where you're going. I see where you're going.
Here.
Yeah, okay.
But it's, in other words, it's a problem that even us sitting here at this table as two adult white dudes, males, don't get. Okay.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the problem's not there.
Yeah.
And when I say problem, what I'm saying is just what women have been facing really forever, but definitely in, you know, the light of social media and everything in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very sad that it's basically a problem that's in front of everybody's faces.
It is.
But I would say, and I'm just throwing this number out there, I would say 70% of the population probably doesn't see it. And it's right in front of them.
And that's the interesting thing is, like, you hear, and even, like, let's talk about the interview with Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah.
So he says,
I was going to mention this quote.
So he says that, yes, this is something I heard about.
Right.
And I think I heard a couple people mentioning that, yes, like, it's almost become a joke. I think Saturday Night Live might have mentioned it. Or
Seth MacFarlane made a joke about Harvey Weinstein creeping girls out when was at the Oscars.
Woody Allen said, it's one of those things you hear, but you hear a lot of things. And I think that's one of the problems is, like, you know, someone like, you know, go back to Cam Newton, who says, like, wink, wink, baby, or I can't believe a woman would say this.
Right.
They don't see it's a problem because it's become the norm.
Right, exactly.
So it's almost as if, yes, he's a producer. Yes, he's a man. Yes, he's in power and he works around a lot of beautiful women. So it's almost okay that he's kind of creepy.
Mm.
And that's the problem. It becomes like a joke. Oh, yeah, this creepy guy tried to touch me.
And it has been a joke. Like I said, I mean, Seth MacFarlane, like 5 or 6 years ago, was, you know how they do that thing where they have the ceremonial announcing of the nominees for the Oscars?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they did the best actress, and this was, like I said, 5 years ago. Yeah. And then after they announced the names of who was nominated, Seth MacFarlane jokingly was like, congratulations to these women. They no longer have to pretend like they're attracted to Harvey Weinstein. And everybody laughs because he's kind of like, you know, a fat creep or whatever. But it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like 5 years ago, everybody knew and kind of like cringingly yeah. joked about it.
Yeah.
But nobody's doing anything about it because, like you said, it's a normal kind yeah. of Hollywood life.
Now, you I think know? There's two things playing out here I want to get your opinion on and see what you think about this. I think there's two kind of things going on in this situation. One, and we're going to the culture now, the culture that contributes to this. One, and of course, we never take the blame away from the person. It always starts with the person. Mm-hmm. We start with, okay, this gentleman did this,
right.
and now he's going to have to. I mean, it's like causality, or you can, if you're a spiritual dude, you can call it karma. These actions stack up, and
right?
Now
of course,
now you have to reap the fruit created.
I mean, he'll
by
probably be in jail, brother. Oh, I mean, he'll probably yes. be in jail at some point.
Yes. So, and of course, they took his, they kicked him out of the academy, and those yeah. are things that should be done. He has to pay the piper, so to speak. But the two cultural aspects I want to get your opinion on that I think contributed to this. One is women being viewed as objects in an over-sexualized culture, meaning that we're still ingrained into who we are as a people, and not just in America, but all over the world, still ingrained into who we are as a people. The woman is the object used by the man for gratification. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a joke or a wink, or even if it's just guys in the locker room saying, look at that girl walking by, we have this natural, deep tendency to objectify women. Now, when does it go too far? I don't know. How do we deal with it? Well, it's something we... You know, even as a man, I work with it over time. I don't like the fact that every time a woman walks by, I just look at her chest and her butt first. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's hard to do that. Mm-hmm. So one, you have men over women. Two, in our society, we tend to give breaks to the powerful.
Yeah.
We have, because we live in a capitalistic world, because we live in a society that praises power, for some reason, if you are in power, it's almost understood that you get a free ride.
I mean, I can see that. I mean, Bill Cosby just got offered 30-plus women.
So here you have this situation where over the last, 37 years, you have a powerful man objectifying women, and it has become the norm because it's a man over a woman,
well, here's
and it's
the
a
thing,
person
dude.
In power.
And here's the thing.
Who's giving us all these gifts of production or whatever.
And here's the thing. I mean, so what do you think? I think that this goes, and I'm not trying to be funny here, I'm being serious, thousands of years back to, you know, like the caveman era.
Okay, no, yes, this is still
I mean,
part
I'm not
of
trying
who we
to
are.
Be stupid,
no,
but
you're absolutely right.
But my point, and we've talked about this with other topics before, especially since Trump got elected, but it's like the country's progressing, bro. Yeah. Like women, I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. She was a shoestring away from being the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not going to convince me that someday we will have a woman president.
Absolutely.
I believe that. And I
absolutely.
Hope that we do. I mean, with minority, we had Obama.
Yeah.
And I think women is the next natural. I mean, somebody's going to do it. Is it going to be Hillary? I don't know, but somebody's going to do it. So the country's progressing. Women are progressing. Because
hopefully humanity is progressing, you would
right,
think.
Right, right. So I think, it's weird to say, we talk about like caveman, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of like, I don't know, depends on your level of history that you study there. And then you look at like, and I don't want to offend you, but I mean, even in the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, even in the Bible, like,
Paul
man,
said that women do not speak in church.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Women
what,
do not speak.
I was going to say, what are some of the quotes?
Hold your
I mean,
tongue.
Stuff
yeah,
like
right
that,
yeah.
you know. And
yeah.
I've even been to weddings where they're religious and they'll be, you know, having readers read like, you were going to obey your man.
Wives
and
be
like,
subservient to your husbands. Wives
right.
serve the husband.
So
husbands
you see what I'm
household.
Getting at here.
Yes.
I mean, it's 2017, yes. but this has been something, this has been a narrative that's been around since
yeah.
the
and
fucking
here's what we do. Here's the
Big
thing.
Bang Theory.
The how we can use these situations as a culture is we can use it to examine where we are and where we've come from and where we need to go as a people, because we can't ignore it. It's a part of who we are. Like as a heterosexual man or as a man in general, I understand the overwhelming evolutionary drive to procreate. And let me put that in layman's terms for you, Gerald, because you're
please.
Looking you're looking puzzled.
Fucking get my thesaurus out again.
That means I understand the sex drive. I understand the desire to objectify women. And I have to accept that that's part of my evolutionary nature. But uh-huh. I'm also able to transcend that because I'm also a rational being. And I can say, you know what? That's a part of who I am, because I'm never going to stop desiring women because that's just a part of me. And you know what? It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Right.
But I can transcend it and I can move on and I can use these situations to say, okay, well, how have I objectified women? How have I contributed to this society? And what can I do to move forward toward a more equal, a more inclusive society?
Right.
So I think that's what you're getting at. I think,
well,
it's,
mentioned,
I think it's important.
I wanted to ask about this angle, yeah. And I'll try not to give away any spoilers so I can get your genuine response. But you mentioned Woody Allen, mm-hmm. and it's not what you mentioned, but I'm talking about him again. But he First of all, he has been controversial in his own right.
Yes.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
I think he like married his niece or something. Yeah. I don't know. Some cousin.
Something very
or,
Jerry Lee Lewis yeah, kind of stuff. Weird, you know? Shit.
Yeah. But anyway, Woody Allen, they obviously asked him about it. He's promoting a new film that's coming out, which, by the way, Kate Winslet's in, ironically. Mm-hmm. They asked him about it, and Woody Allen said, quote, "I feel bad for him, and I hope this doesn't create a witch hunt atmosphere where every guy that winks at a woman has to then get a lawyer," unquote. What is your...
That's a very good point.
That's a very good point, but what is your... response to Woody Allen's kind of
view
there.
Well, I think the witch hunt culture where you're looking to persecute and you're looking to hang and you're looking to burn, yes, that can be problematic. But a part of that, which I definitely think we should contribute to and create, is a culture of awareness where maybe it's okay that the guy winking at the girl in the office is thinking twice before he's winking.
Yeah.
Maybe it's okay that the producer who invites the woman up to his hotel room, even if it's just for business, says, you know what? Let's meet in the lobby.
Right.
Because I don't want this, you know. So maybe that's okay,
you know, but
Woody,
the thing
that we're
for
thinking
me,
about these
but
things.
The thing for me is,
but of course
is that if it leaves the realm of consensual.
Yes.
Okay, to me.
And that's a
now,
big word, consensual.
Yeah, now, this is not, maybe, I don't want this to sound creepy, even though I am creepy.
This is the first time you've ever said that.
This is the first time I never want to sound creepy. Yeah. But I hope I say this. Yeah. I hope my point gets across here. Yeah. But I don't think that a producer, like to use an example you just used, I don't think a producer asking a woman to come to his hotel room is the wrong thing.
No.
If she goes consensually, then that is what it is. He asked her to his room. She agreed. She obviously wanted to for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. What I think Harvey Weinstein got himself into here is that women didn't want to go to his room.
Yes.
And he, in a way, was like, your career's on the line if you don't.
Inviting them up for business or to watch a reel and showing up and you're wearing nothing but a towel, that's different.
Right.
But you're right. I mean.
Right, right. In other words, I guess if you're asking them, a producer might not be the best example because that's what Harvey Weinstein was. But I'm saying, I guess if you're asking a woman to the room with no leverage, just like, hey, I want you to come to my room.
I think that's a good point. And just
if she does that consensually, then that's obviously the purpose of a relationship.
I think you're right. I think there's always two extremes. And I think we don't want a culture where, you know, where everything's allowed and everything's okay and, you know, men over women and whatnot, like we've talked about. But you're right. We don't want a culture where we're just afraid to show our emotions and we're afraid to say, you know what, you're a beautiful woman. You know, would you like to get a drink or come up to my room? So the biggest thing is, I mean, if I'm talking to any guy out there, any woman out there in this environment, the biggest things to look for is, one, be upfront and be honest. You know, communicate. And two, just read the situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you're attracted to someone and you want to let them know, be honest about it. You don't have to be like, hey, you want to come up to my room for consensual sex?
Did you hear
that? But,
the
video? Be like, I'm interested in you and I would, you know, I'd more than platonically and I'd like to pursue this.
Did you hear the clip of Weinstein?
No, I didn't.
Like 6-7 years ago when he was asking it wasn't an actress, it was an employee that worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that?
Yes.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So like he asked her, she didn't want to. That should have been it.
Yeah.
That's the difference to
exactly.
make.
Exactly.
So in other words, the first 5 seconds of that audio, I didn't have a problem with. Because he was like, you want to come in a room? And she was like, I don't feel comfortable. I was okay with that.
Yeah.
But he kept going, you know. Come on, you know, I do this all the time.
And
hey,
here's
trust
the thing.
Me, I'll make it worth your while.
Exactly.
Like, you know, the shit like that.
And the thing is, he doesn't hear no because of his ego and because of the power he's in.
Right.
And that's one of the problems is about paying attention and really listening to the response. Like, I mean, it goes back to this cliche of no means no, but I mean, that's true. No does mean no. I mean, if I say you want to come back to my room and you say no, you're right. That's it.
So let's talk about this real quick because Ben Affleck is tight or was tight with Harvey. I should say was because I doubt he is anymore. But he was tight with the Weinsteins. They produced Good Will Hunting, which was Ben Affleck's really big break.
It's a great movie.
He's done a lot of other things with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, actually. Mm-hmm. But there's kind of a guilt by association thing going on with Ben Affleck. And you were talking about the witch hunt kind of atmosphere.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I mean, some video. In other words, the Harvey Weinstein thing broke. The story broke.
Yeah.
It happened. It's still happening. Ben Affleck released a statement on Twitter, I believe. It was either Twitter or Instagram, about how he, you know, denounced it and how it was horrible. And, you know, basically he was very vehemently against what Weinstein had supposedly done. Well, because of that, people started unearthing creepy things that Ben Affleck has done.
Like what kind of things?
Well, there are two in particular. There was one where he was on, he was like being interviewed for MTV Spring Break.
Okay.
And he was flirting with the VJ and he asked her to sit in his lap for the interview. And he was like talking about how nice her cleavage was. But the whole time she's laughing. She's having a great time. She's also commenting about him. And they're just basically flirting.
Flirting.
I mean,
okay.
You know, basically.
Consensual flirting is fine.
Basically. Yeah. And anyway, that people were like, dude, you're a creep too. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. You know, and they're releasing this evidence that he's just as bad. And then he had to actually, or I don't know if he actually released an apology for the video from 2001,
for that video right there.
I think, yeah.
For that same video?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he said, I treated her unfairly. Yeah. That wasn't fair to her.
See, I think that's interesting. Before we wrap this up,
this is guilt by association,
exactly.
Right?
I want to be very clear that I think there's a difference between an atmosphere of a witch hunt and an atmosphere of awareness. You know, for someone like Ben Affleck to think back, and if he honestly is thinking back, like, wow,
he saw the video, because believe me.
Exactly.
It got re-released.
And for him to think, was I inappropriate and should I apologize? I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's actually a healthy thing
for us
to be aware. However, we don't want to take it too far where you're afraid to show your emotion. You're afraid to flirt.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not Ben Affleck, okay? Nobody fucking knows who I am, okay?
You're beautiful except like you. Ben Affleck.
But I'm saying obviously, I'm distraught and horrified by the stories I've heard of Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Those
obviously cross the line.
If I was anybody aside from just a fucking schmuck, and I said on Twitter, this is horrible. Harvey Weinstein's a creep. He's a piece of shit. And then somebody got our podcast and they heard how creepy I was about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're a creep too, asshole. You're fucking creeping on Taylor Swift. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's
a good point.
That's kind of what I feel Ben Affleck kind of got tied into there. Like, I'm not saying Ben Affleck's not a creep. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I feel like this story broke because he released that tweet against Weinstein and people wanted to call him out on it.
Well, there's also saying creepy things in good humor.
You know.
And then there's approaching women with the desire to use your, your privilege or to use your status to get them into compromising situations.
It's a tricky thing, man. Obviously the Harvey Weinstein stuff is 1,000 million times worse than what I saw in the Ben Affleck video and the Cam Newton thing. But, you know, like I said, going back to the caveman days, the problem exists. The thing that I feel like is holding us back, and when I say us, I mean males.
Yes.
The male community is that women are progressing. We need to let them progress. They are equals.
Yeah.
And really, they're better. I mean, I got to be honest. I mean, you ever see a woman give birth to a kid?
Yes.
They're better, brother. Yeah, okay. Trust me. That's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing I'll mention about Weinstein, you already touched on it, but he got expelled from the Academy, Motion Picture Arts and the Sciences, basically the Oscars Academy. Yeah. It's only the second time in history that they've kicked somebody out. Yeah. They didn't even kick out Bill Cosby. They did not kick out Mel Gibson after his anti-Semitic rant from about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they did not kick out Roman Polanski, who admitted to having sex with a 13-year-old. But they did kick out Harvey Weinstein. I think that says a lot there.
And what,
you want to do a wrap up on Harvey?
The question we need to ask, of course, is, you know, we don't want to live in a society where it takes 37 years for this to come out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because who knows? There could be a lot of, back and forth about, well, why didn't these girls come out sooner? But I mean, if you're in the business and a guy like Harvey Weinstein is one of the controlling, factors are controlling, personalities in that business, of course you're going to be afraid to come forward because, a lot of these women have said, my career suffered after I denounced this guy. So, I mean, we don't want to live in a society where we're afraid to say things because of someone in power.
Kevin Smith.
Power doesn't give you the right to be less than human.
Yeah.
The human comes first. And I say that all the time. The human being comes first. And in every situation you ask, am I being human enough in this situation?
And Kevin Smith, the famous director who also benefited a lot from having Harvey Weinstein be his producer.
And close to Ben Affleck,
just announced today today that he's donating all of his future proceeds from any Weinstein-produced film to Women of Sexual Assault.
Now, that's fascinating.
Yep.
That's a
every
huge
dollar
statement
that he makes from any Weinstein
anything
film
that Weinstein did of his in the future.
Yep.
That's wonderful.
All right, man. So we got to take a quick break. It's not the pee break, though, so don't go to the bathroom. Stay right there.
Man.
But we're going to throw a little shout out to Netflix and Swill, run their promo, and then we'll be right back to wrap things up and hopefully get light, brother. We need to loosen up.
Lighten it up.
Okay. We'll be right back.
We'll hug it out.
Hello. We are from Netflix and Swill Podcast. let me review Netflix shows for you, please. It would mean so much to me if you let me review Netflix for you. Somebody's gotta review them. Why can't it be me?
Come on, let the boy review Netflix shows for you.
Hi, hello. Are you good? Good. Let me drink crappy alcohol and make jokes for you. I'm already gonna be reviewing Netflix for you. Just say yes to me drinking crappy alcohol. Honestly and sincerely, I'd like to make jokes for you to laugh at.
He's a good, hard-working boy. Let him drink some beer and make jokes.
Please don't make me watch the one-star movies.
He's a nice boy! Watch your own damn shitty movies! For God's sake!
Download Netflix and Swill, please. I'll put all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean. Please download our episodes. I already started watching the one-star movies. If you didn't want to listen to our show, why'd you let me watch the one-star movies?
Can we stop this cruel game and allow the boy to keep one shred of dignity? For God's sake! I can't stand to see him in all this pain! So just listen to Netflix and Swill! For the love of God, let the boy review Netflix for you!
Welcome back, everyone.
Hey, we're back!
Peace on the podcast. Okay. Episode 47.
Good to be back, brother. Man. You know, I missed you.
Did you pee that? You didn't
I snuck off. I snuck off.
Hopefully you're wearing Depends and you just pissed yourself. Did you do
I
that?
Snuck off.
All right, there it is. Oh, you just shot in the glass here. You did the Dumb and Dumber. You did the old Dumb and Dumber. All right, so our last segment is always pop culture. Some fun stuff going on in the pop culture world. I got a lot of, this was not on purpose, but literally all of them are game show related. I don't know.
Not, you don't have one Bachelor. There's no Bachelor. Well, not Bachelor. Taylor Swift.
Not Bachelor. Well, that's game show too, though, technically. Reality show.
Well, yeah.
But
I don't consider that a game show.
So before we get into the three game show ones I have that I thought were really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the new quote lying down workstation?
I thought of you immediately.
Did you see this?
I thought of you
so
immediately.
It's being tested.
Okay.
Let me try to explain it for the people. Yeah,
please do. Paint a picture.
It's literally a automatic recliner. Okay.
With a screen.
Motorized recliner.
A computer, right?
And it has a computer screen and keyboard, you know, notepad. And
glued
it's
to
like,
a table where when the chair goes back, the screen goes back.
You lay back. You lay back. And you're on your back and everything's up in, you know, like up in the sky.
So
and
imagine you're sitting at a computer. There, you know? As you go back, the desk goes back
basically,
with you.
Basically, yeah.
You can lay down and work.
Suspended in air above you.
Now they say.
Are you into this?
Now they say.
Are you into this?
This is very Wally.
Yes.
Now they say that it's mainly designed for people with lower back problems. And of course, those lower
come on,
back.
Dude, lazy fuckers are using this. No way, back problems.
Now, lazy back problems come from a history of working.
Lazy back problems? Is that a thing? What kind of back problem do you have? I have a lazy back problem. I'm too lazy. My back pulled my back out.
My back hurts. Why? Because I haven't stood up all day.
I pulled my back out doing nothing.
No, for people who work in an office who are sitting down for 8 hours a day for years and years and years, they'll develop a back problem, of course. Now, I think the problem is not the individual backs. The problem is, once again, the society that makes people sit down for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, that's a good
point. What are we doing to these people?
I don't know, brother.
We're killing the spirit. We're killing the human spirit.
So listen.
I'm going to buy you one of these chairs, though.
So listen.
It's only like $6,000.
Next month. Give me one, brother. I'll do the podcast in it.
Okay.
I'll be laying there.
Would you ever get up?
Fuck no.
You ever get up? At Walt Disney World, there were a lot of scooters.
Oh, yeah?
By the
people
way.
Driving around with motorized scooters. Were they, you know why they do that?
Why?
I think I'm going to do that next time I go to Disney, actually.
Because they get
actually.
In the front,
yeah,
of line.
Front of the line, brother. Yeah. I'm going to do that next time. I look pretty old, right? Well,
I am. If you sat in a scooter, no one would question you.
Yeah, they'd be like, look this guy go. He doesn't have much long. Let's get him on Space Mountain before he's got 1 foot on a banana peel. Let's get him out here.
Yeah.
Okay, what were we talking about?
The chair. So you want a chair?
We're over that. On to the next topic. I do want that, though.
You want a chair?
You get it for me?
You want a chair?
All right, so you watch Jeopardy?
Of course.
Okay, so
my daughter, my 9-year-old daughter, loves Jeopardy.
You told me that before, I believe. I forgot about that.
She loves
it. So, I'm old. We just talked about that. But I have the soul of like a 9-year-old man. I tell you this. Like, internally, I'm always like yelling at youth.
You have the soul of a 90-year-old man. What do you think your face looks like? It's all pretty consistent.
I don't do it, actually do it, but I always find myself at this internal monologue, like yelling at youth and young people. You know, like the Clint Eastwood, get off my lawn. You
exactly.
Know?
Do the kids walk on your lawn?
The reason I bring
this up. Do they put poop on your porch?
Yeah, they do.
They lit it on fire.
The reason I bring this up, which actually has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but the reason I brought it up is because I watch a lot of Jeopardy because I feel like I'm there. You know what I mean? Yeah. 90-year-old people watch Jeopardy in the nursing home all the time.
They do.
Well, did you get a chance to check out Austin Rogers, the most recent champion that is the second all-time winning?
The second all-time winning. I wonder how many has he won?
He won, I want to say it was like 13 in a row
13
or something like that.
13 Jeopardies. Yeah. That's hard to do.
Did you get to see that dude, though?
No, I didn't.
He was the bartender from New York.
Okay.
He had the kind of the crazy hair.
A bartender from New York won 13 Jeopardies.
Yes.
What are you doing with your life?
Second all time winnings in the show, dude. That's crazy. But anyway, he had this thing is like he had like these quips like he would do. You know how they in the intro to Jeopardy, the music's playing, and they're like, and on today's show, we have a bartender from New York, and they show him on the screen. You know what I'm talking about? And as they show him, he'll just do like some funny like little face. And anyway, he became like kind of a viral sensation, brother. He just ever blew up. And anyway, he lost after 13 victories on Jeopardy. But he is newfound fame, brother. Good Austin Rogers. There's a lot of clips you can find of him on
YouTube.
You
think he'll go back to bartending?
Fucking, I doubt. Actually, he should.
Yeah.
New York City. Why not?
Yeah.
Keep working, brother. If we win the lottery, are you working?
Of course.
You're an idiot. wrong answer. That's the loop. You fucking got it wrong, finally. Okay, two more. We got to wrap up.
Okay.
Did you? Well, I know you didn't because you weren't born yet, but you've heard of Name That Tune.
Yes, I have.
They're bringing it back, brother.
That's crazy.
A Name That Tune revival is in the works over at CBS.
That's exciting. Did you watch that when you were 50?
Yeah, I watched that when I was 10 years old. It came out in 1952. No, it began on NBC Radio as an audio broadcast in 1952, and then it became popular on television in the 70s and had a couple revivals after that. But CBS is in the works, trying to hone it in, trying to get a host for it. But, you know, Name That Tune.
You could host it.
I could.
You could do it in your chair.
You know, and then fucking lay down and be like, do you know what this song is? Man, play it.
You just keep clicking on your iPad.
But I'll be like, is it Taylor Swift? No, that's all I know. But it's, you know, they do like
a humdinger. Have you ever played a...
I've had a humdinger. That's not what it is. That's the bonus round. Wait.
Have you ever played Cranium?
Humdinger's the bonus round. Yes, I have.
Cranium's a great game. It's like a humdinger.
It is like a humdinger. Makes me very excited. Yeah. All right, let's go to our last topic.
Well, you got to hum the thing. But, okay.
No, you do hum on the thing and you get a humdinger.
When the Name That Tune, yes. Do they play the words or just the song?
No, I don't think so. I think there's different. I think levels. Exactly. I think it levels up, and I think it gets harder as you go on.
Okay.
Which also goes back to the humdinger. All right, what are we talking about? Okay, humdingers. Okay, last one, brother.
Okay.
We're talking about game shows.
Okay,
game shows. One of my favorites that it's just such a guilty pleasure because it was on Lifetime, okay? And I used to
watch game shows on Lifetime.
I used to watch with my grandmother, brother.
But those are called game shows.
Supermarket Sweep,
movies.
Brother.
Did you watch Supermarket
Sweep? I love it. You know what that is?
Where the people, they line up and they have to get a certain number of items, like spend a certain amount of money.
Well, whoever fills their cart with the most expensive bill.
So I could go to the cereal aisle and dump a bunch of cereal, but you could go get steaks.
People were getting like whole turkeys and shit, brother. You got to be smart about it. If I'm in there, I'm going straight for the beer, brother, because I know all the imported beer, and plus that's what I do anyway.
Exactly.
It's a normal grocery trip for me. I just get a bunch of beer and a couple fucking packets of Krispy Kreme. So I'm out of here.
You win the show and you have no idea you're even playing.
Go home and play humdinger.
Like, hey.
All right.
Why'd you go to the beer? I was just going to the beer.
I'm got to get some entertainment for my round of humdinger tonight. Okay. You ready for your loop?
Yes.
So Supermarket Sweep's coming. Did I tell anybody? Well, it's returning to TV. They're shopping it around.
Okay. It's returning to TV. You're not going to be able to watch it. You don't have TV anymore. You don't have Lifetime.
I have Hulu.
Okay.
Hulu gets a lot of Lifetime. Ooh. My wife told me there's a Lifetime streaming app that's like $5.99 a month. I'm like, who the fuck would pay for that?
You.
Because anybody that watches Lifetime is too old to know how to use an app. I mean, right?
You watch Lifetime.
Well, dude, that's a good point. I also like a show on Lifetime called Unreal. I do a lot of Lifetime viewing now. I'm just learning that right now in real time. Okay, you ready for your loop, brother?
I am.
It comes along with what we're talking about here. Okay. Do I do the music for the loop?
No.
No, I don't.
No,
that would
confuse
you,
right? Yet.
Okay. What? We're talking about Supermarket Sweep here, so you know the premise of that show.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
So the loop kind of goes along with that, because that's basically a game show about grocery shopping. Okay?
Yes, it is.
So your loop is, what normal activity or errand could be entertaining as a game show?
Lawn maintenance.
That could be entertaining as a game show?
Well, no. Check it out. Boom.
Holy shit. I didn't see that coming.
So you have this yard, this unkempt yard.
Well, clearly you have a yard.
Unkempt yard.
Right.
And you have to mow it and trim the hedges and like make it look
yard
pretty.
Work.
Exactly. But you compete with the guy next door.
Oh, well, they kind of do that already.
You know what it's called? You know what the name of it is?
What?
The grass is greener.
That's good. I pitched that. But, you know, they kind of do that for the Christmas decorations. Have you seen that one? Battle out, but it's not yard.
You and I could battle with Halloween decorations.
That's good. They do that too now, so we can't.
Interesting. You don't like that? You don't think yard maintenance?
I do like the title, though. I feel like you're
the
on something.
Grass
there.
Is greener.
I like
what?
So mine is, and let me explain.
Okay.
Because
if you have to explain
an initial reaction, you're gonna be like, "This not gonna be entertaining." Okay. But mine is paying bills, brother. Because here's what you do.
You laugh.
Hold on. No,
you
I'm gonna tell
laughed
you.
At yard maintenance.
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you because I fucking thought this shit out. Okay.
There, Gerald goes paying his.
So here's the thing, brother. Okay. So you get a couple. So it has to be a married couple because obviously we deal with finances and we fight and we hate each other. So wait a minute. That's just me and my wife. So anyway, we pay bills together. We share our life together. Okay. So you get couples to compete on the show. Okay. And the thing is, they'll give you like, I don't know, $1,000. They'll give you an allotment.
Okay.
And then you have all these bills that you have to prioritize and you can only use the money you have. Okay.
That's not a game show. That's a ninth grade
That's
science
life, brother.
Project.
Oh, okay.
That's something right, well, in econ that you take.
I don't know. I thought
grade.
I was
on
to something there,
book.
But. All right. I thought wow. I was on to something. All right. Let's get it
No, 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 Gerald. That's right a great game. What's the name of the game?
Like, I don't.
What's the name of the game?
Come up with the name of.
Pay my bills. I don't know. Can you pay my
bills?
Bills,
bills, bills.
Bills, bills, bills.
And we'll have Destiny's yes. Child do the yes. theme song. All right. I'm going to get Real Slim okay. Shady back in here for you, brother, and let you give your final thought,
yes.
Andy, on episode 47.
Like Slim Shady, I don't want you to be afraid to believe what you believe in, say what you believe in, and express it. But also be aware. Let the Weinstein controversy teach you to be aware of how you are affecting other people, to be aware of how you feel and how you're... and how you're expressing yourself. So express yourself honestly and authentically, but be aware of how that is affecting the world and balance.
There it is, Andy. I want to thank our featured pod friend of the week, Netflix and Swill. Check those guys out. All their information will be in the show notes. And thanks to them for having me on their show this week as a little guest spot. We talked about some new Netflix movies, which was great. And you can also find all of our information in the show notes. You know how to do that because you're listening right now.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you're probably not. You probably tuned out. You tuned out 59.7 minutes ago. But okay. If not, we're still here. Andy, I'll see you next week, brother. We'll do episode 48 for the people.
Hey, I'll be here, man.
You will be here.
I will.
I'll come join you.
Okay.
I'll see you there, brother.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.